Well, last week we had time to spend together in the service of reading scripture, praising and testifying of God's goodness, and taking time to remember all he has done as we came around the communion table. Today, if you haven't noticed already or didn't catch it, we're talking and thinking about the living hope through our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This year has been a tough year. COVID, and so many of our friends and family have been affected by it. There's been loss because of it, loss of jobs, loss of income. Some have lost their loved ones, as we prayed about already. Not being able to visit with relatives and friends during holidays throughout the year has been hard. Having to wear these makes it hard for us, you know, but we're doing it for one another. They're hard to breathe, you know, and it's hard to see everybody's smiley faces. Not being able to travel places is hard for people. Not being able to be around others going to church because of serving people in the retirement homes and the nursing and hospital medical field has made it hard for some of our people that aren't even here today because of that yet. We've had to endure a very tough year. And then, of course, Wednesday. The Wednesday events that happened down in Washington, D.C. This was a hard thing to see happening too as well. It's been a hard year. But we don't have to lose hope. If you think of all those things, we could worry, as I think Janelle prayed about. We don't need to have fear and worry. We have a living hope that is eternal. Peter helps us to see how we can have a living hope while going through this life, suffering grief in all kinds of trials. Would you turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1? That's near towards the end of the Bible in the back. If you're using the Pew Bible, it's on page 980. But 1 Peter, we're going to look at verses 3 through 9 this morning. So 1 Peter, starting in verse 3. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Will you pray with me, please? Lord, we just quiet our hearts before you. There's so much that goes on, and we think about it, and our minds just run with these different thoughts. This morning, we just want to quiet our hearts and our minds and our souls. We so desire to hear from you, to be encouraged by you. Help us understand, but not just understand, help us to apply the living hope that we can have in our lives for those around us as well as for ourselves. Thank you, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. So at the end of today's service, my desire is that we all will know how we can have a living hope, but just not know how, but actually live it out in our lives. In our text that we just read, Peter gives a Jewish greeting, a blessing, as he starts writing to his audience to the provinces of Asia Minor. He says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." After his greeting, a blessing, he talks about new birth, being born again. Now, born again is a term that was very common to hear in the late 1970s and 80s. Right, Bill? We heard that a lot. This group of people, though, that Peter is writing to were mainly Jewish Christians, but also to some Gentile Christians who were living in these five Roman provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. This is the area we know today as Turkey. When we were born the first time, it was a dead hope. We were born to die. Peter here, though, is talking about a rebirth, a new birth through which one receives a new nature and a new identity. Jesus talks with Nicodemus, who came to him. He was a Pharisee, and Nicodemus came to him at night. And he asked Jesus, "How can a man be born again when he is old? Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus tells him, "I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at me saying, you must be born again." Jesus is talking about a spiritual birth, that whosoever believes in him can have eternal life. Then Jesus goes on to share the verses that you probably have memorized for a long time. John 3:16 and 3:17. He says this to Nicodemus, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save them through Jesus, through him." As Paul says, this is faith and believing in Christ for your salvation. So for those of us who have this new birth, as Peter says, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We have a living hope because of three things that Peter's going to tell us about. This hope is very different from the world. Worldly hope is merely wishful thinking, and it ends in the grave. The world puts its hope in things that can die, can be destroyed, decay, rust, deteriorate. Christian's hope is different. It's not based on these things, but it's based on a person, the person of Jesus Christ, God's Son. He is the living, resurrected Savior, our Lord, our Messiah, Jesus. We have a living hope because of Jesus' resurrection from the dead. God raised Jesus from the dead. Peter says, "Through him, Jesus, you believe in God who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God." By what God has done through Jesus, we can live with great expectations of our future. Jesus' resurrection guarantees our own resurrection through faith in him. There's a much better future on the horizon for those of us who believe in Jesus, who have our faith in him alone. This gives us positive expectations for our future that brings us living hope that the world doesn't have or doesn't even understand. When I was 12 years old, I had to come to the realization of death, that death is a part of life. My grandpa, my mom's dad, the one I was sharing about earlier to the praise team, you know, about the hair, he was dying. He had a heart attack, and he was in the hospital, and he wasn't going to make it. As I talked with my parents, I can remember the conversation very clearly, actually, with my mom. I told my mom, "I'm fearing death." She couldn't give me that living hope or to even share how I could have that. We went to church. You know, I went through catechism when I was a little later, but I didn't hear about having this personal relationship. I was fearing death as a 12-year-old. I struggled with that for years until I was about 18 years old. And this is when someone shared with me how I could have a relationship with Jesus Christ and how I could have eternal life, and I do not need to fear the future. Death has been defeated, as the Word of God says. "Oh, death, where is your sting?" As some of you know, it was after hearing Pastor Randy Corbin preach on Sunday morning about the gospel and how I could have this faith. I could have a new life. I could, and I do, have living hope through Jesus. Because he is alive, I am alive too. Jesus offers this to each one of us. He offers us living hope through his resurrection. He promises his followers that they too shall overcome the grave. This assurance is so firm that we as Christians can risk our lives on it. So not only do we have a living hope through our Savior's death and resurrection, we have a living hope because of our inheritance that we have through Jesus. Look at verse 3 with me again. Peter says, "Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance." "And into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded in God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." Part of our new birth is the inheritance we have through God's Son, Jesus. An inheritance was very important to the Jewish people. An inheritance was the rights of a child or an heir that was adopted into the family. An inheritance was a tangible property that is able to be seen, be able to be touched, noticed, and it was also the intangible things that were not be able to be touched or seen. All that the Father possessed was their inheritance. All this was the inheritance of a child or adopted heir from the Father. They came into the rights of their inheritance when they were born. The Father managed and took care of their inheritance, and then, of course, at the death of the Father, that's when they would receive their inheritance. Paul says this about inheritance: "The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his suffering, in order that we may also share in his glory." He goes on to say, "As God's heirs, we share now in all that is his, as Father God uses his resources to benefit us, his children. There's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male or female," Paul says, "for you all are one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then heirs according to his promise." Amen, right. That's a great promise. That's what gives us hope. In the resurrection, we fully possess our inheritance. But even now, God uses his possessions, tangible and intangible, to meet our every need. The inheritance is eternal. It is not subject to decay, and it's kept for us by God. Jewish people had an expectation of an inheritance in the coming world, and some spoke of treasures stored up in heaven for righteous. Have you ever made a hotel reservation? And when you arrived at the hotel to sign in, they lost your reservation? Your reservation isn't lost in heaven. If your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, you will enter into heaven. Our inheritance is kept in heaven where no one can take it, lose it, or hack it out of God's computer. It is unstained by evil, not weakened or damaged by time. Our inheritance has been put into safekeeping, and it continues there in heaven. The word "kept" literally means to be secure in a provided place, heaven, and with God's army. Not only is our inheritance in safekeeping, but we are eternally secure. We are being guarded by God's power for the salvation to come. If you truly are born again, have accepted Christ as your Savior, you're not going anywhere. Not because of your power to hold on to God, but because God has an omnipotent grip, all-powerful grip on you. In John 10, 27 to 29, we read what Jesus was to say about God's all-powerful grip on his sheep, us, who he's referring to as his sheep, who believe in Christ as their Savior. He says, "My sheep, listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hands." So let's review just for a moment. We can have living hope through Jesus Christ, through his resurrection from the dead, and we can have a living hope because of our inheritance that never perishes, spoils, or fades, and we can have this inheritance that is kept in heaven by God's power. There's another reason we can have living hope. Look one more time with me to Romans 3 to 5. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. We can have a living hope because of our future salvation, salvation that is yet to come when Jesus comes back. Timothy says this, God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. The Bible speaks of salvation when a person believes. You can read many different places. One is in Titus 3. It says, he saved us, not because of his mercy. He saved us through washing and rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having hope of eternal life. The Bible also speaks of salvation at the present, the continuing process of salvation or sanctification. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And Peter goes on to say in 1:9, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation for your souls. So the Bible talks about when we come to know Christ as our Lord and Savior, then it talks about our sanctification, and then it talks about the salvation as the future. When Christ returns and our salvation or sanctification is completed through glorification, Paul says in Romans, we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we eagerly wait as children, adopted sons, the redemption of our bodies. And he goes on to say, and do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer than we first believed. Salvation of our souls is the result of our faith in Jesus alone. As Martin Luther King Jr. said, faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase. Faith helps us to persevere, to keep going and not looking back. I like this illustration about persevering in life. Think of it this way. Your car's rearview mirror is a fraction of the size of the windshield. And there's a reason for that. Safe drivers glance in the mirror, but they focus on the road ahead. How would you like it to be in a car that's driven by someone preoccupied with the mirror? Too many people travel through life that way. They regret yesterday's failures, rehash yesterday's blessings, coast through life on a quarter tank of fuel, and hope for a scenic overlook ahead. Too often, that leaves them stalled by the side of the road. He goes on to say, let me hand you a bucket and rag. Wash the windshield, buckle your seatbelt, and hit the forward gear. That was the Apostle Paul's attitude when he declared, I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past, and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. The heavenly prize that Paul is talking about is our salvation that we receive at the end of the race. Peter says later in chapter 1, verse 13, therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed in his coming. When Jesus comes back, which seems like it could be any time now, some of us hope for that with all that's been going on. You know, our salvation is complete. Christ's coming should give us great hope and stability for each of us who believe in him and we persevere through our lives. Peter says there are three very clear results of how our faith helps us to respond in life. We go through whatever the world and our enemy can throw at us. And at the end, like Paul said, we are at the finish line. We get the prize. But look at what Peter says in verses 6 through 9. He says, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you're receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls." So, our faith in Jesus should look like this. We love Jesus even though we don't see him. We believe in Jesus even though we don't see him now. And our lives are filled with an inexpressible, meaning a feeling that is too strong to be described or conveyed in words. And it's filled with a glorious, meaning worthy and admirable, joy. Our lives are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. All of this because of our faith in Jesus Christ, that we're receiving the goal. Our eyes are focused on the goal of our faith, which is salvation of our souls. This is what it looks like as we have living hope in our lives as we go through whatever life can dish out at us, because our hope is in Jesus and not in people, not in our circumstances in lives, and not what is happening around us or how we are feeling. Our hope is in Jesus. I like what Tony Evans says. He lost his wife, 49 years of marriage, they were married. And he says this, that the living hope we can have as we go through life, he says, "Nothing should produce greater joy than knowing our security in Christ." That's true. Even if we suffer grief in various trials, our ability to cope in the present is tied to our understanding of our inheritance in the future. If we cannot make the link between now, trials and suffering, and the not yet eternal glory, grace won't be multiplied in our lives. God allows trials to refine our faith like gold so that it may result in praise of Jesus when he returns. All trials are designed to do three things: prove your faith, develop your faith, and glorify your Savior. We never know what we believe until we face hard times, until we face that test. But the heavenly goldsmith, God our Father, wants to refine our character. So, through our circumstances in life, no matter what they are, we need to love Jesus, believe in Jesus and his word, and rejoice in Jesus. We need to seek his glory and determine how we can bring him glory through as we trust in him and live our lives. As we believe in him and as we trust and obey him, this isn't a feeling. It's a decision to follow him. And probably the harder it is, as we're going through difficulties, is to thank him and praise him as we go through them. But doing this, knowing we are receiving the result of our faith in Jesus Christ, the salvation of our souls, living hope. Living hope comes through our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the faith that Jesus talked about to his disciples when they were wondering why they couldn't cast out demons. Jesus said, "This is because you have so little faith. Truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can tell this mountain to move from here to there, and it will be done." Nothing is impossible with Jesus in our lives and our faith in him. Our faith in Christ can move mountains. Nothing too big, nothing too small. With Jesus, we can face it and we can handle life. And through it all, we can have a faith that gives us living hope. I'm not on Facebook, but one of our elders told me about one of our brothers wrote something, and I asked him if I could share that this morning. I thought it's so fitting. One of our brothers wrote this: given the events on Wednesday, we are all left with varying thoughts and emotions, and we have a choice if and how we respond. Part of me finds it easy and satisfying to point the finger, fooling myself that I'm better than that person. Another part of me is sad that people would turn to violence. But again, I am reminded of the times I got mad and did something that was not broadcasted on national TV. Yet another part of me wants to go hide in a hole and hope to wake up in the world of health and peace. He goes on to say, as I reflect on these things, I am reminded that I am no better and no different than those I disagree with or those who make poor decisions. I am reminded that the problems in this world are not due to a president, a party, or any person for that matter. The root of evil is sin, which plagues the best and the worst of us. My only hope, and get this, he didn't know that I was going to add this till I talked to him on Saturday. My only hope is in Jesus, who came to this earth, died, and rose from the grave to free us from our ugly selves. He has conquered sin, and he is our only hope for peace and life apart from sin. Our hope is in Jesus alone. So this morning, I ask you, do you have the living hope in your life? Hope that sustains each one of us as we go through, no matter what comes our way. Our closing song today is called Living Hope. The words to the song are powerful. It is the gospel laid out before you, as you'll notice as you sing the verses. And then the words to the chorus, listen to these. It says, hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You, of course referring to Jesus, have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Will you pray with me? Lord, there's nothing else that we can put our living hope in except you. You give us hope for everything. And it's not just good for one day. It's everlasting when we put our faith and trust in you. It can't be taken away from us. It doesn't rot or decay. It's the firm foundation, as we sang about, the solid rock in our lives. And Lord, I pray today, if there's anybody who doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, they would give their lives to you. And I pray for those of us, Father, who have lost loved ones, who have lost a job, maybe income, who have losses this year that we grieved about, and maybe continuing to grieve. I pray that we would have this living hope. And through this living hope in our lives, we would allow others to see the living hope that we can have in Jesus when we go through hard times. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We worship you. You are the one and only living hope. Thank you. In Jesus' precious name, amen.